maintenance supplies. We talked last week about, what was that? We read Ephesians 12, we read about the gifts, and then we went over there and we talked about how the body, how one is an ear, one is an eye, one is a foot, one's a hand, you know. And the Bible talks about how the body of Christ is like a natural physical body. Y'all remember that? Well, we're going to continue talking down those lines this morning. So if you got your Bible, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read some of this in the King James Version, some in the Amplified, but Beth will put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you or you don't have an Amplified Version. God's good, amen? All the time. And His mercy endureth forever. Thank God. You might say, well, He ain't been good to me this week. You just ain't tasted Him. You can't taste Him. In other words, if I can tell you what an apple looks like, smells like, tastes like, the flavor of it and all that, but until you taste that apple, you cannot experience that apple and know that it's good for yourself. But the Bible says in Psalms, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? He's good. There's no badness in Him. That's not good English, but anyway, there's no badness in Him. The Bible says in James, there's no shadow of turning in Him. Because if He turned and there was a shadow, that means there would be a greater light, right? That He would be cast. He is the light according to Scripture, according to 1 John 4:8. God is light, amen? And He's good all the time, all by Himself, and His mercy endureth forever. But let's get here to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And that's going to be in the King James Version, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church, right, at Ephesus. He's not talking to an individual person. Here we go. Let's explain this again. You got this doctrine out there, which is not true according to Scripture, that says, I am the church. Well, according to the book of Acts, when the church first started, 3,000 was added to the church in one day. You remember that? How is 3,000 people added to you unless it's demons? Y'all remember the guy that had, 2,000 or something other demons in him that Jesus cast out and went into the hogs? So unless it's demons, how is 3,000 people being added to you, number one? And you got to bypass all Scripture to say that you as an individual are the church. You got to bypass all Scripture to say that you as an individual by yourself is the body. Because every time you look up the word church in the Scriptures, it says an assembly. Called out once. Called together. You are, according to Scripture, you are an individual member. Like my pinky finger. This is not my body, right? It's my pinky finger that is what? It's a member that makes up the whole body, but I got to have all the other parts if I'm going to talk about my body. If I'm going to talk about an individual, then I could say my pinky finger. Do y'all get that? You are not the church by yourself. You are not the body of Christ by yourself. It takes every one of us to make up the body. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said there's a hand, there's a foot, there's an eye. There's something that every part, there's joints, there's ligaments, according to Ephesians. And everything has a supply. All right. So if you've heard that... Oh, gosh. There was another one that I thought about this morning. The church is supposed to be a hospital. What is your verse for that? Give me chapter and verse, somebody, real quick. Anybody ever heard that? Church is supposed... Y'all heard that? Well, give me chapter and verse, because we have to have chapter and verse for what we believe, right? If the church is a hospital, who is the doctors and the nurses and the anesthesiologists and the bedpan people and floor ma? Who are those? Come on now. Think about the hospital. If you go to the hospital, what are you going for? Golly, but are y'all awake? Well, what do you go there for? Help. Healing, right? Well, let's hope there's a doctor on call. Let's hope there's a nurse on call. If you're bedfast or whatever, you can't get out of there. Well, let's hope somebody's there to come and change your bedpan. You don't have a chapter and verse for the church is supposed to be a hospital. The Bible says, Jesus Himself said, He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make what? Disciples, not converts. Converts are made, then you're supposed to be made into disciples. The word disciples, when you look it up, it means one like Christ, one that follows, a learner, a pupil. Right? So what's that mean? We all supposed to get born again and be growing up. And that's part of the problem why the body is in the shape that she's in today. But not for long, because Jesus is coming. And the Bible says when he comes, he's coming back for a glorious church, right? One that's grown up, one that's mature, one that's like Christ, right? All of the parts fitting together like they're supposed to be and supplied, growing up right unto him. So if we're going to be a church that is like a hospital, so to speak, or whatever, then we got to have mature people in here that can change the diapers of the babies. Now, if you've been born again for 15, 20, 25, 30 years, and you still need a diaper change, we're going to have to do something with you. Because even in the natural, there's something wrong with that person, right? They've got something physically wrong with them. They've got something mentally wrong with them. If they still need a diaper being 25 and 30 years old. So as it is in the natural, it's the same way in the spirit. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you what? May grow. That's the key word. Every one of us are supposed to be growing and developing and maturing in him. And for too long, the people sitting in the pews have relied on just the fivefold ministers. And according to Scripture, that's not so. According to Scripture, and we're fixing to read it, fivefold ministers are given as gifts to the body so that you can grow and do the work. We don't like that. We don't even like that in natural, do we, Johnny? Some people, they're just lazy. They don't want to work. In the body, they think everybody's supposed to do everything for them, but that's not so. It says for the body to grow and do the work of the ministry. Till we all come to the full stature, the mature man, one corporate man, as the Son of God, right? Let's just read it. Let me quit preaching on it. He says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness of mind and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That makes me think we was on that 9 weeks, 1 John 13:34-35, right? Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. He goes on, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, amplified. Verse 2, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind. So there's no place for pride, arrogance, right? In love, according to 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God doesn't have pride or arrogance in it. And without love, you're nothing. Your faith won't even work right, according to Scripture. Humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness with patience. Bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Excuse me. He says, be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produce, and this is only produced, he says, by the Spirit and the binding power of peace. Back to the King James. There is one body. Boy, we sure are splintered, ain't we? We got the Methodist, we got the Pentecostal, we got the Baptist, we got the Lutheran, we got the Church of Christ. They're all, not when he comes. Why? Because he says there's only one body. Now I am just a member of the body. But just like we are this morning, we are part of the body. We are a body here. Then you got the part of the body over yonder. This part of the body may be in the whole body of the entire world, maybe an eye, maybe a toenail on the little toe, where that assembly, which is the church, not the church, but a part of the church, there's something else. And every assembly, every body has a part to play in God's worldwide plan of the whole body. And how many knows we got to get to it? Time's running out. He's coming. And he goes on and he says here, there is one body. If you've been born again, you are in the body of Christ. You're a member of it. And there's only one. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now notice this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? The next verse is going to tell us why he did it, right? He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Who's the saints? Everybody that's not in that fivefold that he just called. And before you get to that, you're just a saint yourself. And he goes on and he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the what? Oh, that's a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. He says, of the ministry. He says, for the what? Edifying of what? The body of Christ. Now switch over to Amplified. I think that's what I got, ain't it? Yeah, verse 12, Beth. It says, his intention was, for giving these fivefold ministry gifts, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, what? Samantha. Abby. The church. So there's no way that you can get those mixed up, right? He says body, then he translates it church. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. He said there's only one, right? It's the faith of the Son of God according to Scripture. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect. Don't let that word throw you. Don't mean flawless. It means mature. He says, man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, 13 in the Amplified. He says that it might develop, talking about the body, the church, until we all attain that oneness. According to Scripture, the Bible says Jesus himself prayed that we would be one, just as him and the Father is one. And before he comes, we will be one. He says, in the oneness, in the faith, and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Back over to King James. He says that we henceforth be no more what? If you're not going to be a child, what do you got to do? You got to be growing up, right? You get born again, the Bible compares you to a newborn baby, right? I mean, what's a baby do? A baby does nothing but lay there, pee, eat, cry. You got to do everything for it. But how many knows as you feed that baby and you change that baby and you take care of that baby, if there's nothing wrong with it, nothing's defective, it grows and it develops, right? Till before you know it, you're as big as Blake. What are you, Blake? 6 foot? 6'3"? I was 3 inches off. And he ain't even fully grown yet. Somebody been taking good care of Blake. The Bible says that's the way the body is, right? And then before you know it, you're not changing diapers and putting in bottles anymore. You're saying, take that garbage out, mow that grass, work. Right? Let's go on here. He says, 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And he tells you what kids are like. He says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Babies eat burnt milk. Sure will. Any of y'all ever had a baby before you give it burnt milk? I'm not talking about on purpose. Surely you would not. But I mean, you're out going around or something other. The milk got hot. I did Travis one time. And he's sucking on it, boy. I mean, he's eating it. And I got to looking at that bottle, and it was kind of, what do you call it, clammery or whatever, stuck together. And I'm like, something wrong with that. I took the lid off of it, and I smelt of it, and I'm like, woo! I poured it out. He's a baby, Johnny. He's just eating it. That's what babies do. Don't run here and there to every church. Find out where you're supposed to be and get in there and stay there. Because when you go from church to church to church, all different kind of doctrines out there, and they all ain't the Lord. Just because you're behind the pulpit, everything I say up here I know good and well is not the gospel. Why? Some of me, I'm the speaker, so some of me sometimes gets mixed in, and y'all say, we knew it. Didn't you know it? Every now and then. Oh, let's go on here. I can't get off on all that. But he says, they're lying in wait to deceive. He says, but speak the truth in what? You got those out there that say, well, my job's just to speak the truth. That's a lie. That's a half verse. The Bible says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. He says, may grow up into him. So speaking the truth, and the word of God is truth, right? Jesus said his word is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So all of that, but you got to speak it how? In the love of God. You get outside the love of God, you're not ministering and building up anybody. You're tearing down. I mean, if you ever used the scripture to slice and dice somebody, I know y'all ain't. I have. Prove my point. Show you I'm right. Well, guess what? All I got that I was right. Wasn't nobody built up. Wasn't nobody edified. All they was done was made to feel bad. So we don't do that. Why? Because our job is to grow the body up, to edify the body, to build up the body, right? Till they can do the work of the ministry and become that mature man. He says, unto him in all things, which is the head, he says, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined, what? Together. I'm going to use Donald as an example here. Now, during COVID, we tried to do the six-foot thing before we quit. Started meeting out here or whatever for a little while. So there was two chairs over here against the wall and a space and some more chairs in a space or whatever, you know. Well, Donald sat on the front row and so did these the youth or whatever. Little island to themselves over there, you know. That way nobody's crowding me up, getting in my business, nothing like that, bothering me, and I ain't bothering nobody. Donald, I seen him on the front. He's over there this morning. I said, they messed you up, didn't they, Donald? Why am I saying you can't be an island to yourself? You can't grow that way. For an example, the Bible says if you're sick, it says call for the elders of the church, right? Well, I think I'll just call Jensen Franklin and tell him I'm sick and let him fly over here and pray for. See how good that works for you. Well, I need something, you know, so I think I'll send Mike Murdoch a letter. You know, he preaches that. So that made me think of Scotty this morning. He preaches that. You know, y'all ever heard of Mike Murdoch? I don't hear him much anymore, but used to. He was real big when me and Scotty was coming up, and he was real big on prosperity and preaching it and all that, you know, and how that if you give an offering, you know, God will give back and all that. Well, Scotty wasn't like he is right now. So we was listening to him one time, and he's talking about if you send him an offering, you know, God would do this, that, or another. And Scotty wrote him a letter. Wasn't an anointed letter either. He wrote Mike Murdoch a letter, and he said, well, if me giving to you and you're in the body is going to bless me, well, then if you give me an offering, it's going to bless you. Mike did write him back. He said, I'm sorry, brother, at this time, you know, he can't send Scotty an offering or whatever. But how many knows, certain supplies are supposed to come through the body. Just like this morning, somebody's going to get an offering this morning. Because somebody in here needs help. Let me read this before I get on with that. He says, from whom even the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which what? Every joint supplieth. You are a joint or a ligament in the body somewhere, somehow. He said, you got a supply. He says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That don't leave nobody out. You may not be somebody that's on the stage. You know, that's just like the praise team or whatever. You know, they sound good and all of that, but without Beth, you ain't going to hear them. You'll see Monty up here. No sound. You'll see Travis like Milli Vanilli. No sound. But you don't see Beth. You don't see what Beth's doing, but how many knows she's needful and she's supplying. You may not see the supply that everybody brings, but in line with Scripture, everybody is supposed to have a supply. Amen? So let's read that in the Amplified here. He says, I think it's that one I wanted to read. No? But anyway, that's good on that one. But he says there, every joint is supposed to be supplying. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 here since we're in Ephesians. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Just for time's sake, y'all can go back and read the whole chapter. I only got 45 minutes and Scotty won't spare an extra. So verse 14 here, and I got that in I got that whole thing in the Amplified. So if you don't have one, Beth will put it on the screen. He says, therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper. Now who's he talking to? Lost people? No. The Bible's not written to lost people. Right? Y'all read that? He's talking to the church that he oversaw as an apostle at Ephesus. He says, therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. The King James says, I think X says. He says, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to tell you how. He says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. He says, at all times. That goes right along with David, right, in the Psalms. He said, let your praise be continually on my lips. Amen. He says, at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. But notice that verse 18 up there. He says, and don't be drunk with wine, he says, wherein is excess or debauchery. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. I understand why people drink. I understand why people do drugs. This life without Jesus is hard to take. Even with Jesus, if you don't say full of the Spirit, it's hard to take. And that's why a lot of times you have even Christians, they've been born again and they love the Lord, but they drink or they do drugs or they do this other stuff. Why? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. And I'm not talking about baptizing the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. How many knows, yeah, that's the you get born again, and then that is a filling of the Spirit, amen? But how many knows whenever, you know, you might say, well, I go to a Spirit-filled church. Our little pastor, you know, he's Spirit-filled, you know, and next week he runs off with a keyboard player. Not that day. Come on now. Not that day, wasn't. How many knows, you can't be full of the Spirit of God committing adultery. I don't care who you are. Why? Because God's against it. You can't be full. Now, I didn't say you wasn't a Christian. I didn't say you wasn't born again. Come on now. Let's don't act like... See, things get real tight when I start talking about this stuff. But it's one of the reasons why we have some of the problems that we have. I have been a Christian addicted to drinking because I could not sleep. And fear is what kept me connected to that. I took sleeping pills for, I don't know, probably 20 years or maybe longer, to the point to where they got to where they would just wouldn't work anymore. And I went to the doctor, you know, and the doctor, they wouldn't prescribe me. They've got some that's kind of like tranquilizers, you know. They give me this one and that one. I mean, they did absolutely nothing. And I would tell them, they're like, well, we ain't going to give you nothing any stronger than that. So I turned to drinking. It's called self-medicating. Boy, y'all are quiet. Yeah, I'm the Sunday school teacher. I try not to be religious. I try to help. But anyway, so I start drinking. Why? And I drink to the point to where, and I'm not talking about I'm drinking to feel good. I'm talking about at a certain time of night, I fix me a little drink, I drink my drink, I put on my sleep mask, and I go to bed, and I just pass out asleep. Well, maybe that's not really sleeping. But at the time, that's all that I felt like option that I had. Well, and how many knows over a point of time, then you get to where you can't stop doing that, even if you want to stop doing that. It don't have to be drinking. It could be all kinds of things. I mean, brownies. Gosh, I've heard the stories about the brownies, you know. this week I ate a thing of cake icing with a spoon. I know y'all don't, but anyway, we'll just stay on my stuff, you know. And listen, when you hear me tell this stuff, don't think, oh, Teresa, this. Relate it to you, because we all got an issue somewhere. Why? If you don't, then you have reached Christ's perfection, and we want to know how you got there so quick before everybody else. But anyway, what I started doing, the Lord dealt with me. I started taking the scripture where it says over there in Psalm that he gives his beloved sweet sleep. And I took another one. I can't think of what it is now. Psalm 127, verse 2. I think it's Psalm 24, verse 8. Something like that. Anyway, I got it wrote down. And I started reading them and quoting them and believing them for myself every day, every day, every day. And it was fear that kept me bound to that. Because I don't know, if you've never had that problem, I'm telling you, it's awful. to where you got to be up at 5 and 6 o'clock and you ain't going to sleep till 2 and 3, and you do that day after day, and then sometimes you don't sleep for a couple of days, and it ain't because you just been laying around. That's awful. You're tired. You're physically tired. You're mentally tired. You're irritated. But anyway, so I started doing that and everything. And so it was the fear that kept me bound to that alcohol, because fear of, if I don't do it, I can't sleep. If I don't do it, I can't sleep. Well, I mean, that went on for a period of time and everything. And then God began to minister to me how much He loved me. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18 that love does what? Cast out. Maturing love, in the Amplified, mature love cast out all fear. And when God began to minister to me how much He loved me, that spirit of fear was broken, and I don't drink anymore. Now, I still use those scriptures to go to sleep. Do I still have trouble sometimes? Oh, yeah, it's normally, my normal time to go into sleep is anywhere from 12 to 1:30, normally. But see, it's not the same as what it was before. Why am I telling you? Because we all got issues somewhere. And if you don't stay full, you may have been full before. Get low, and you're subject to anything. And it ain't the devil. See, we like to sing the songs about, woo, taking back what the devil stole from me. Golly bum, y'all breathe. Right? Go into the enemy's camp, taking back what the devil stole. Are you now? Good song. But when you don't live it, it's another thing. And according to Scripture, you're either lazy or you don't know your authority. Because according to Scripture, where's the devil at? Under my feet. Under your feet if you've been born again. But how many knows the Bible says in James, submit yourself therefore unto God, then resist the devil, and what? Then he's going to flee. So if you got the devil on you all the time, you're not taking your authority and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, or he would be under your feet and not running you ragged all the time. Some people, they just don't know. Some people, they're spiritually lazy and think God's just going to do it for them while they lay on the couch. And it's not going to happen. How many knows we've already been delivered for absolutely everything? According to the Word. But how many knows the Bible says, work out your own salvation. When you look up the word salvation, it don't just mean you being born again. It means, yes, being born again, paying the price for your sins. It means deliverance, right? It means abundant life. It means healing. All this stuff is a package deal, so it's already been done. But how many knows if you're going to be born again, you're going to accept that sacrifice, right? Well, if you're going to be delivered, you've got to accept that. You've got to be doing something, because the Bible says, work out your own salvation. What's that mean? Salvation, and once you get born again, has come in you, but it ain't yet worked through you in every area. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, it says, renew your mind. Because your mind didn't get born again. You got born again in your spirit because you was dead unto God, but you get born again. The Bible says you've been made alive unto Him, right? But your mind, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions did not get born again. You must take the Word of God and renew your mind. What do I mean by that? If Jesus says, by His stripes you are healed, renew your mind, because your mind, you've lived however long and trained your mind however long you've trained it, you and the devil, to think like the world thinks and like the devil thinks and go by how you feel instead of by what the Word says. Once you get born again, it don't make no difference how you feel. You can feel like slapping somebody, and the Bible says love them. Right? Now, if I slap you, I ain't loving you. But if I want to slap you, and by act of my will, I choose not to, I give you $100, I bake you a cake, I pray for you or something other, I'm walking in love towards you. See, the world thinks, the church thinks like the world a lot of times. Love is a feeling. Love ain't no feeling, baby. I've had lots of feelings in 40 years. Well, 42 years and 3 months about it. This year I will be married to your pastor 40 years. And I know y'all think he walks on water. And that's good. You should. Not at home. His socks still stink. His breath stinks if he don't brush his teeth. And we have life to live every day. And so for 40 years nearly, every day we have to keep loving one another, and love is a choice. I choose not to be touchy. Woo, y'all come on. I choose not to be fretful. I choose to forgive. He chooses to forgive. I've done a lot of stuff. Y'all remember when he come here and I wasn't quite as, let's just call it mature as what I am now, and worked on myself with the Holy Ghost, and y'all remember his face was all scratched up? Yeah. And I told you I broke my coffee table and all that? Because without Jesus, I'm a complete wreck. See, some people, they get to be what the world calls kind of good, which there is no good apart from him. Even Jesus said, why do you call me good? But what the world calls good without him, I'm not good. There's nothing good in me without him. So he had to forgive me for that. I had to forgive myself for that. I felt so bad about that. See, the thing about once you get born, you can be a sinner and sin don't bother you. Woo! Party it up! But you get born again, that party just don't hit like it used to. You still party. It just don't got the same effect. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, help us, Jesus. You're free to do anything you choose to do. You don't get born again and Jesus make you do something. The devil does. Right? He enforces his will. The Holy Ghost leads, guides, prompts, convicts, convinces. Right? But he doesn't force. But the devil forced. So yeah, you can be born again, party like you used to, commit adultery like you used to, drink like you used to, do whatever you used to do, but it ain't going to be the same thing. And when you it all stops, you got something on the inside of here that says, this ain't right. This ain't right. This is not the life I want. But he says, everything is not good for you. Following Jesus is the best thing you will ever do. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. It is hard when it is not my will to walk in love and bless somebody when I feel like punching them in the throat. But how many knows? The later the benefits. That when I forgive and I pray for those who curse me and I bless those who despitefully use me. The benefits, glory to God, later. I live in peace. Hallelujah. Joyce Meyer said, not forgiving somebody and holding grudges is like drinking poison and expecting them to die. How many knows that ain't going to happen? If you're drinking the Kool-Aid or the poison, you're the one going to die. You're the one going to be miserable. And most of the time, they either don't care or don't even know you got a problem with them. So they're sleeping just fine. Somebody said, how you sleep at night? On a pillow. With the peace of God. Now, y'all just got me off on all that, and I ain't got time for all that now. I guess somewhere I got to go here. Oh yeah, I know why we was on that. Because he said, don't be drunk with wine. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. When you get full of the Spirit of God, you don't need that outside stuff. See, there's some, and not just that. There's people, they work and work. And work and work. They just can't hardly be still. Because when they stop working, that's when all the stuff starts coming in. And they have to start looking at all this stuff that's on the inside of them. So then they'll work and they'll work and they'll work. Or they run around with this one and this one and this one. When baby, the whole problem is you, it's me. But if you're full, you don't need outside things. You can be the supply for somebody else. But when you're not full, I don't care if you're five-fold ministry. Do you understand there's a lot of ministers stepping down today? I forgot how many they said are like the Baptist Association, because I like statistics. You know, and they do these statistics of different denominations and pastors or evangelists, you know, or teachers or whatever, you know, and they tell how many that they know of that are stepping down, and they're stepping down because of what they call burnout. You know what burnout really is? You ain't full. You cannot get burnout getting refilled every day. Absolutely not. And the thing about it is, we are leaky vessels. I can be full today and get up in the morning and I got to refill. You're just like a car, baby. You got to go to the gas station. Who's the gas station? The head, Jesus. What's that mean? I got to take time with him. I got to spend time with him. And listen, if you love him, it's not a drudgery. I told y'all the story before. Me and Scotty's dating, and he went to Florida. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't go to school. I got in trouble for not going to school. All I want to do all day long is just sit there and look at that picture and dream about the day that he'll be back soon. He's only gone for 2 weeks, John. Oh, but when you love somebody. I get up in the morning. At that time, I took a shower in the morning and a bath at night. I don't know what for. I don't know why I thought I was so dirty. But anyway, teenagers, that's a lot of them just got to think about that. I'd take that picture from the bedroom, set it on the back of the toilet, take a shower, get ready, go back in the bedroom, take that picture with me. I mean, every day, I just do that. Why? I love Him. So if you love the Lord, it's not a drudgery for you to spend time with Him. When he would call, I didn't get on the phone and say, look, dude, you got 15 minutes, you know, and let's try to make something up to try to take up that 15 minutes. No! 15 minutes is gone like you just got on the phone. It's that way with the Lord. But a lot of us, the reason we're not full is because we don't go to the head, which is Christ, and get filled up. We're too busy. Got to make a living. Do you now? What scripture you got for that? Come on now, give me scripture. Well, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Well, I know it, but the Bible says, Proverbs 10:22, it's the blessing of the Lord. Right? Then make it the increase. Two jobs, three jobs, toil or labor doesn't increase it. It's the one that makes you rich. Yes, work your job. Give your offers. Do God what God says. Obey Him. Love Him, and He will increase you. Scotty makes more money now than he's ever made, and he less works hours than he's ever worked, Johnny. Sandy just heard him say it, and she said, okay, that's for me too. Now she's doing it. It's by faith in Him, trust in Him. And when He tells you something, obey Him, right? But we got to make a living. That's not scriptural. All the kids in here, how many of y'all lay awake at night thinking about how you're going to pay the light bill at your house? If you do, just go ahead and raise your hand. Aubrey, you sure you don't want to raise your hand, baby? They don't. Well, the Bible says God is our Father, right? He says if we're His, He'll supply our every need, right? According to then why are we lying awake at night? Why we ain't got time for Him? Because we're too busy making a living. Or, here's another one, we're too busy at the lake, Jesus. Too busy for my pleasure. Then guess what? You ain't going to be full. And that pleasure just ain't going to hit like you want it to. Been there, done that. Go spend a bunch of money because you think if you go over here, it's going to give you some peace and it's going to give you some joy. True life and peace and joy only come from Him. I'm not saying you can't go on a vacation. I'm not saying you can't have pleasure. The Bible says over in Timothy, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. But how many knows, without Him, you don't enjoy like you're supposed to. But with Him, the Bible says, when you got little and God is in it, it's much. Hey, you can take a fishing pole on a riverbank, spend $20, and just enjoy yourself till you're just about rolling on the bank. Or you can spend thousands of dollars going to Hawaii or doing whatever the thing is that you do and come home and be like, God, I just wasted that money. I feel just as bad as I did before. Why? Because life only comes from Him. You only get full when you spend time from Him. We just read the scripture. It says, He is the head. According to Psalm 133, where He talks about brethren dwelling together in unity, He said it is like the anointing oil that is upon the head, what? Of Aaron. This is Old Testament. Just imagine that. You pour in the oil on Aaron's head, it just stays on Aaron's head, don't it? According to Scripture, it comes down upon his beard. It comes down upon his garment. And then before you know it, it's all the way down to the bottom. And that oil comes from Jesus. That life. Let's look at John 1. Gosh, I got about 6 minutes, is all. Oh, wrong way. Ooh, don't you just love Him this morning? Listen, some people make serving the Lord just so hard. Religion makes serving the Lord so hard when all it is a relationship. Yes, it's hard sometimes when my will is not to do the will of God. Why? Because there's a suffering there. I mean, I want to do what I want to do. And when he tells me, love my neighbor as I love myself, and I don't want to love my neighbor. Their garbage, their dogs is tearing my garbage out, or their cows breaking my apple tree, or whatever. I don't want to love my neighbor. I want to punch him. I want to go over and give him a piece of my mind. Now, that's not happening. It's just an example. But when I obey the Lord and do what he said, that's where the blessing is. And guess what? Then my light is shining to my neighbor. Let's look here at John 1. I got to get over here. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, and it's talking about Jesus. How many know in the heaven he wasn't Jesus? He became Jesus and called Jesus when he got here because we needed him to become Jesus. He was the Word in the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Notice this. In him was life, and the life was the light of who? The Bible says over in, Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You have no light of your own. Where did the light come from? Him. You get born again, this light comes in you. Why? He came on the inside of you according to Scripture. According to Romans 8, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right, if we're born again, abides within us. So that light, his life is what the light is, came on the inside of you. And the reason why a lot of people look just like the world and are very, very dim is because they don't spend time with him with that life. Jesus said in John 10, he said, I came. The very reason Jesus said he came, he says, I came to give you life and what? Life more abundantly. That word abundantly means to the full, till it's overflowing. We got a trough out here, whatever you want to call it, about to baptize you in, Johnny. About to talk you under out here. I told Scotty yesterday, I said, you know what? If we could pick that up, thanks heavy. But if we pick that up, if it's full, and we pick that up, everybody holding that and close enough to it's going to get wet. Samantha, you said it Wednesday night. Of course, you called it vomit, but I knew what you meant. You know, we all have our stuff or whatever. When you're full, your light is shining and your mouth ain't even got it open. The Bible says the light is the light of the body. I mean, the eye is the light of the body, don't it? I believe it's over in Matthew. There's times I can look in people's eyes and I can see Jesus. It's like they're just bright. They're just, you might have not even been to bed all night. Then there's times I look at people's eyes and they've slept 12 hours and you just look dead as a doornail. And you're a Christian. Why? Because the eye is the light of the body. You can see Jesus. So guess what? When we come together and that life, you're full of him, you've been spending time with him, whether you've had a lot of sleep or not or whatever, whether you feel good or whether, listen, I have felt awful, can't hardly talk, sickness attacking me, and y'all know what? Stood up here and laughed like crazy. Somebody told me when I got done, you laugh too much. Well, you sourpuss, maybe you need to do a little laughing. Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine, and I needed medicine. And I even told you, I'm trying not to laugh at that time. Y'all remember that? Scotty had the shingles and was up there at the, clinic, whatever the thing was, and I'm having to do this or whatever. We was attacked. But because that life, because I was full, because I had been spending time with the head, which is Christ, I had a supply for you when I got here. Y'all walk in the door. You're supposed to have a supply. Don't get out of the bed and come here. Get out of that bed and spend some time with him. I'm not talking about you got to spend just 2 or 3 hours with him. Smith Wigglesworth had 18 to 19 documented cases of raising people from the dead. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. You can't do that without hearing his voice and obeying him. And somebody thought, oh boy, I bet he just prays day and night. And they asked him, said, Brother Wigglesworth, how much do you pray? He said, about 15, 20 minutes. They were shocked. But then he went on and he said, rarely do I go 15 or 20 minutes without praying. That's the key, people, to staying full. See, some of y'all walk in that door, and I mean, the life of God's just flowing out of you. You're just bubbling. You're just joyful. Your eyes is bright. And then sometimes some of you walk in here and we got to have three songs don't even get you going yet. Then halfway through the preaching, you might yawn a little bit. Joints you're not supplying. And that's part of the reason why the body don't get built up like she should. But when we all spend time with the head and we get full, when we come in this house, everybody will be doing their supplying. Amen? And everybody, nobody in the body will leave here without what they needed. Sometimes it may be a physical supply. Sometimes it may be a prayer supply. Sometimes it may be a financial supply. I'm not just talking about just spiritual things or whatever. I got to stop because my time is up. And I always like to give y'all at least 2 seconds to say something. So anybody got anything they'd like to share quickly or anything?